Hi there, I'm Dr. Trevor Cates. Welcome to the Spa Doctor Podcast. On the Spa Doctor Podcast, we often talk about root causes behind skin and other health issues. And today we're covering what I consider to be one of the very most important root causes, digestive health. I'm excited to cover this important topic with a very special guest, my friend and colleague, Dr. Michael Murray. Dr. Murray is one of the world's leading authorities on natural medicine. He's published over 30 books featuring natural approaches to health. He's a graduate, former faculty member, and serves on the Board of Regents at Bastyr University in Seattle, Washington. Through his work with leading companies, Dr. Murray has been instrumental in bringing many effective natural products to North America. Some of these include glucosamine sulfate, St. John's wort, ginkgo biloba, and those are just to name a few. On today's podcast, we cover how to know if you have digestive issues. And I know you might be thinking that you already know, but here's a hint. It may not be even a digestive symptom. It could be something totally something else, another symptom that is giving you a clue that gut issues, those digestive issues, are at the root of your health concerns. And here's another hint. A lot of our health issues go back to the gut. So this is a really important topic, and we're also covering why the conventional approach often fails and natural alternatives to address the root issues and heal your body from the inside out. So please enjoy this interview with Dr. Michael Murray. Mike, it's so great to have you on my podcast.
It's such a pleasure to talk to you anytime, even via Skype.
Absolutely. So today we're talking about how to help people improve their digestion naturally. So I'm excited to talk about this. And you know, you and I have talked about as naturopathic physicians, we with our patients, yeah. We oftentimes hear from them, "Oh no, I'm fine. My digestion is fine. I have a bowel movement like once a month. I'm good."
Yeah.
And they feel like a lot of times people think, "Oh, if I'm going to the bathroom every now and then, my digestion must be fine." So let's first talk about how to know if digestive issues are a problem for people.
Yeah, well, I think most people in America have some sort of digestive issue. I mean, if you look at statistics, it's hard to get a real sense of what the number might be because, believe it or not, 100 million Americans are constipated. That's basically one out of three people. And if you're not having a bowel movement every day, you're definitely constipated.
Now, I want you to pause for a second on that because I oftentimes hear from patients. And when I ask them, "Do you have any problems with constipation?" they say, "No, I'm fine." And they'll say, "How often do you go to the bathroom?" They'll say, "No, once a week or every other day. I don't really know, but I'm fine." You know, so that is important for people to realize that not going once a day is not normal. Let's talk about what's healthy.
And I know a lot of your viewers are women, and one of the initial studies that really made an impression on me relating to constipation is they looked at breast aspirate, and they found that women who had bowel movements only once every 3 days had a much higher level of mutagens. And so that led to other studies looking at bowel regularity and breast cancer. And so it is a risk. And it makes sense because if you're not getting things eliminated, you're absorbing things that you shouldn't absorb. So just, having a healthy bowel movement every day is something that we want to try to achieve. And if you're really healthy, you may have two or even three bowel movements a day.
Yeah, perfect. Okay, so go ahead with what you were going to talk about. I just wanted to stop and really emphasize that.
Yeah, well, you know, so you hear, I read that statistic, 100 million Americans suffer from constipation, and then 100 million suffer from gas, bloating, and indigestion. Now, is there a crossover? I don't know, but there's a lot of people with digestive issues that are fairly easy to solve, and then you have more serious issues like ulcers or inflammatory bowel disease, Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis. And many of your viewers have probably heard of leaky gut syndrome or small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. And then you've got functional dyspepsia and irritable bowel syndrome. So you got a big waste basket of different diagnostic terms applying to various gut issues. And it's a huge, huge issue for a lot of people. And we can all improve our digestion. And when we do that, we improve our health. Hippocrates, the father of Western medicine, perhaps said it best. He said, all health begins in the gut. On the flip side, he also said, all disease begins in the gut. So very interesting.
It is so true. And you know, on my podcast, I talk a lot about root causes. I talk about that in my book, Clean Skin from Within. Yep. And, you know, as naturopathic physicians, we're always talking about root causes. And one of the big, big root causes for so many things is goes back to the gut. And I think a lot of the conventional medical approach oftentimes overlooks that.
You've written a great book on that, and we've had discussions, and a lot of skin conditions owe their origin to digestion, and a lot of times people don't understand that, and most conventional medical doctors have no idea that a condition like psoriasis really is a condition related to gut function, as well as eczema and acne and many other skin conditions are simply a reflection of what's going on internally. And when you fix things internally, the exterior gets better as well. So, yeah, there's so many benefits to our health when we focus on improving digestion. And as I said earlier, that's where health begins. We have to eat the right foods, but we also have to break them down so that we can absorb them and assimilate them so they can provide benefits to us. If we're not digesting our food, then that leads to a lot of problems. It leads to the overgrowth of the wrong type of bacteria, leads to the imbalance in our digestive tract, in our microbiome. That's a term that many of your listeners have probably heard others talk about. That refers to the collection of gut bacteria, and that plays a huge role in our overall health. And it's incredible what research is showing. We know it. We were taught the role of the gut flora in health, but what research is showing now is that it plays a huge role in our mood, our risk for very serious diseases like cancer, heart disease, obesity, diabetes, Alzheimer's disease. It plays a huge role in our skin health. It plays a role in our detoxification ability and our ability to live a more youthful and healthier life. So, yeah, we've got to improve digestion. We've got to focus on that. And it begins with the foods that we choose to eat. But even eating the right foods and good foods isn't enough for many people. They need a little digestive support. Now, when we talk about improving digestion, there's a big contrast between the conventional approach, conventional medical approach, and the naturopathic approach. In conventional medicine, they're obsessed with basically eliminating symptoms. The problem with doing that in digestion is you end up blocking digestion. You end up causing more harm. And we're seeing that with the side effects with drugs like Nexium and Prilosec, as well as other drugs that affect the GI tract. These drugs are really, really a big problem. I think it's kind of a house of cards. Long-term use of PPIs, I'm talking about drugs like Nexium and Prilosec, is associated with increased risk for Alzheimer's disease, increased risk for early death, increased risk for heart disease, strokes, increased risk for infections, increased risk for osteoporosis. The list goes on and on and on. And that's because of the way these drugs fundamentally work. They're proton pump inhibitors, and we have proton pumps throughout our body. And these drugs also inhibit certain enzymes. The net result when people start using these drugs is, yeah, their symptoms are gone. Their symptoms of maybe heartburn or reflux are gone, but they've created a whole slew of other potentially serious side effects. And I don't think that these drugs are going to be on the market for, it'll take a while. We've seen that with a lot of drugs in our lifetime, Trevor, where they were pretty much used by everyone. And now we know that they were really a bad idea. And that's what's going to happen with these PPIs.
And I think it's important for people to realize that, and a lot of people probably already realize this, that these kinds of medications are given to people a lot. They're taken quite often. And when people reach for antacids, and a lot of times it's very, they're thinking that it's very a benign thing, that their doctor's like, oh yeah, it's completely safe. Just go ahead and take these. It's no problem, and you're gonna feel better. And I think that a lot of times people will just keep taking them and keep taking them because they're feeling better. But talk about root cause, not addressing the root cause. This is not only not going to address the root cause, but can create complications. So, I mean, do you know how common how common these medications are?
Yes, they're extremely common. I mean, these are big money makers. Just to help people understand how screwy our approach to digestive issues is currently, just go into a drugstore, CVS, Walgreens, Walmart, Target, and just look at the digestive health aisle. It's huge, and it's a big money maker for everyone involved in that area. The drug companies are making money, the drug stores are making money, the pharmacists, everybody's making a lot of money. This is a huge category, a billions of dollars. And I think the money spent on these drugs is kind of the least costliest aspect of these drugs, because the long-term consequences are quite significant. And there's a good rule of thumb I like to give people: never take a drug that has more side effects than you have symptoms. We can improve digestive health through natural approaches, and the difference is just so fundamentally opposite. Instead of blocking digestion, that's what these high-powered antacids do, or anti-diarrhea medicines. What they do is stop your intestinal contractions. Instead of blocking digestion, what natural approaches focus on is assisting the body in the digestive process by providing aids, whether they're digestive enzymes or various herbs. These substances work with the body to promote health and healing, not block symptoms. Again, like you said, they get at the root cause.
So, and I imagine a lot of people are thinking, okay, but do they work as well? Am I going to get symptom relief? Is it going to be
Absolutely.
immediate? Am I going to get the same kinds of results? And I know the answer to that, but I want you to answer it.
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. In fact, it's amazing to me how far away from rational thinking that we've gone in that digestive health issue, because these natural approaches, they're rational and they work. The digestive health patient is a little bit different than most of our patients, because there's no real placebo response. If someone has gas and bloating, you can't really fool them with a placebo. It doesn't really work. But if you can identify what is the issue, and many times it's lacking certain key enzymes. Most people are familiar with being lactose intolerant. When you're lactose intolerant, you can't break down the sugar that's in milk. So when you drink milk or eat dairy, it causes gas, bloating, and it can even cause diarrhea. If they take an enzyme with that milk, a lactase, that enzyme, it'll help them break down that sugar molecule, and they won't have that digestive experience. What most people with lactose intolerance don't know, however, is that about 75% of the people that are lactose intolerant are also intolerant to the protein fraction in milk and dairy, casein. And so they would really do much better if they used a combination of lactase with a protease, and that will help them tolerate the milk or dairy even better. We can see significant improvements in irritable bowel syndrome, in functional dyspepsia, in gas and bloating, and indigestion and heartburn, simply by utilizing digestive enzymes. Very simple, long-time naturopathic approach that's getting more and more research to support an obvious benefit. If you're breaking down the food with the use of enzymes, you're going to eliminate many of these symptoms. You know, the only difference between an infant formula that is your normal infant formula and one that's hypoallergenic is that in the hypoallergenic formulas. They've exposed the proteins to enzymes to break them down into smaller particles so that they are no longer causing a reaction. Well, when people have digestive issues, a lot of those digestive issues are simply the result of not breaking down their food into those smaller particles. And when we don't break those large particles down to the smaller molecules, then what happens is that it feeds the wrong type of gut organisms. And so we get overgrowth of the wrong type of bacteria. And that leads to more digestive problems, not just gas and bloating, but it can lead to small intestinal bacterial overgrowth and more serious issues, inflammatory issues. And it's simply a result of not breaking down the food properly. In many people, as they age, they stop secreting sufficient levels of digestive factors, hydrochloric acid, and these enzymes. So it just makes a lot more sense to give them support instead of something that's going to block the symptoms.
So you mentioned one of the causes of the lack of enzymes, which is aging. The aging process, we have less enzymes as we get older. What are some of the other reasons why we wouldn't have enzymes? Because, I mean, in a perfectly healthy body, we shouldn't have to take enzymes, right? In an ideal state.
I agree. I have my own theory on this, so I'd like to have you answer that question too, because I know that you've thought about it. But one of the things that I've recognized, we know, we as medical professionals and people that have studied physiology know that the body devotes a lot of energy in digestion, and in particular, the manufacture of these digestive enzymes. So I think the reason why many people are lacking them is because the body only has so much energy. And so the body has to kind of prioritize where to put all of that energy. And sometimes that area in the digestive tract doesn't get the energy devoted to it that it should. So I think low energy, I think many Americans are suffering low energy, and it could be just, you know, a chi type thing, but it could also be because of what they've been eating in the past and their degree of environmental toxicity, their ability to detoxify, all the things that we know can contribute to low energy. I think an energy deficiency results in an enzyme deficiency.
Right. I totally agree with that. I think a lot of it has to do with the lifestyle that we live and, you know, medications that we've taken that confuse the body into not having the right enzymes. And then, and diet and those other types of lifestyle issues, stress. And then there's also a genetic component to it as well that some people just don't have, genetically, they just don't have the same level of enzymes because of their genetic makeup. It's great to talk about this in sort of a systematic way of, you know, you don't have the right enzymes, you can't digest your food, then you can't absorb the nutrients, then it also can lead to dysbiosis issues. So let's talk about dysbiosis and the microbiome, because I think this is, I talk a lot about the gut microbiome, the skin microbiome, and how important it is. So would love your input on what do you think are some of the most important things to help support the gut microbiome?
Yeah, and I have my own thoughts on this. Everyone's kind of focused on the bugs, you know, probiotics, for example, and they're important. But what's really important in forming a healthy microbiome is the terrain of the intestinal tract, and that's largely determined by our diet. And I think that that if we look at the healthy diets around the world, in particular the ones that have been well studied, like the Mediterranean diet, they are full of compounds that really affect the microbiome in a very profound way. Things that I'm really interested in are polyphenols. We talk about polyphenols like proanthocyanidins and other flavonoids, green tea, berries, olive oil, and olives. And we talk about all their benefits in terms of antioxidants and influencing inflammatory pathways, but they also have a huge impact on the microbiome. In particular, I think that they're very efficient biofilm disruptors. And one of my theories is that what's really disturbed in many people with chronic gut issues, like SIBO and leaky gut syndrome and irritable bowel syndrome, is that they have dysbiosis, the wrong type of gut bacteria, and this gut bacteria has adhered to the wall of the intestinal tract, and it becomes very resistant to getting scrubbed off. So I started looking at, well, what are some dietary factors that scrub those things off? And lo and behold, it's all these superfoods are great biofilm disruptors. And then things that have volatile components. So when you think of things that are volatile, we're talking about things that have a lot of aromatic aspects to it. Citrus, oregano, rosemary, peppermint, things that have a volatility about them, I think are very important in creating a healthy microbiome, and most importantly, preventing the formation of biofilm and then disrupting that biofilm that is formed. So eating a varied diet is very important, and then focusing on some of these good sources of these polyphenols and volatile compounds. We need to eat more spices. We need to eat more herbs. And I think that we don't hear, I've interviewed all these people for the Digestive Health Summit, and everyone, not everyone, but there was a lot of focus on eating like raw foods and eating sauerkraut and fermented foods. And I think that all of that's great. But I think that if we look at population-based studies, blue zones, if we look at the Mediterranean diet, you look at studies on the New Nordic diet, and all this research, those diets have to be influencing the microbiome in a very profound way. And so I started asking the question, how are these diets affecting the microbiome? And I think I've found some real gems.
Great. I love that. I mean, I really don't think that we use much in the way of enough of the herbs and spices. And I definitely don't think we use enough fresh herbs. I think it would be great if we all had like little pots in our windows of fresh herbs that we could pick from. I know that's how I grew up, as my parents, they use tons of fresh herbs. And it makes food taste better too, especially, if you're making fresh, wholesome food, you want to add some flavor to it without just dumping a bunch of salt on it, right? But, I think that I think most Americans don't use enough of that. So I love that you're saying that. And I don't know, did you mention garlic and onions? Are those also part of that?
Exactly. And ginger. I love fresh ginger. I love fresh lemon juice. I think these things that have this aromatic aspect to it, they're very important. And we need, in America, we're just not taking advantage of the bounty of nature's medicines. And we hear this term superfood being used a lot, but if you look at herbs and spices, cinnamon, turmeric, then all the spices, all the mints and whatnot. They blow these superfoods away in terms of their anti-inflammatory, antioxidant, anti-cancer effects, and they have very interesting effects on the microbiome. Yes, we need to eat superfoods. We need to eat a clean diet. We need to avoid those things. But we need to spice it up, and we need to find ways to get more raw foods in our diet. Raw foods are there's an interesting thing that happens with raw foods is that a lot of compounds get destroyed with cooking or being exposed to air. for a long period of time. So when we eat them in their foods in their raw form, and I think with vegetables, for example, I recommend 50% steamed or lightly sauteed and about 50% raw, because there's benefits in both. But we need more of the raw foods in our diet, especially at the beginning of a meal, if you think about it, because, for example, a salad will typically be very rich in a wide array of different phytochemicals, as well as compounds that are inherent to our bodies, like ATP. ATP is the chemical form of energy throughout our body. But we have receptor sites on the intestinal lining and in the lining of our stomach for ATP. So these receptors are responsible for sensing the amount of energy that is in a food, and you know, salads are very rich in ATP. And these compounds, ATP and these phytochemicals, they impact the secretion of digestive factors. The ATP isn't being absorbed by the tissues, and that's creating energy. What it's doing is it's binding to receptor sites, and it's causing the release of various digestive factors. I think that's very interesting. We're going to figure this all out. When I say we, I'm talking about the scientific community. In the future, we're going to be prescribing meals and foods as therapy, much more than we're doing right now. And I think that kind of preparing the body for a meal will be a big part of that. Bitters, a great thing as well. I love kind of getting back to some of the old nature cure concepts, because as we've seen in our lifetime, Trevor, as we've started looking at these things that we didn't understand, why they were used for thousands of years, and then we've seen them more and more. Science has evolved to a point where it's able to explain the wisdom in those recommendations. And it's going to be exciting when we learn more, because I think the best from nature is yet to come.
So yeah, I completely agree with that. And can you talk a little bit about bitters for people who aren't familiar with that, what bitters are?
Yeah, bitters are bitter herbs, and there are a number of them. And bitters are also used in like Campari and some of the digestants. What the bitters do is they stimulate the digestive secretions, and they also, berberine, golden seal is getting a lot of attention these days because of its ability to not only act as a bitter, but also it exerts very profound effects on our microbiome. It's an interesting type of, if we want to call it an antibiotic, because it's very effective at kind of inhibiting the growth of disease-causing bacteria, but actually promoting growth of the so-called healthy bacteria. So I think what research will show is that many of these compounds, so they tend to be alkaloids, many of these compounds that are in bitter herbs, bitter-tasting herbs, do exert this ability to kind of be more selective as antibiotics. And that means killing off the things that we don't want growing in our microbiome and accentuating the ability of the health-promoting bacteria to grow.
Great. Thank you. And what do you think about apple cider vinegar?
I think apple cider vinegar is interesting. I like black vinegar better. Black vinegar is a big hit in Europe, and it's a little more powerful. A lot of the apple cider vinegar in the U.S. is like, if you're buying it in capsules or tablets, it's usually just acetic acid. Whereas if you buy raw vinegar, apple cider vinegar, it's kind of a murky, muddy mess, right? Well, I think it's not just the acetic acid that's important. I think it's all these murky compounds in the the black vinegar is higher in these compounds, and I look forward to educating people on you know why black vinegar is so popular in Asia, much more popular than even apple cider vinegar is here.
Yeah. So let's talk some about your Digestive Health Summit. I think this is so great that you brought together all these people to talk about such an important topic. Because here's the thing is that I think a lot of people don't realize that even if they don't have digestive symptoms, that their digestive health is impacting their health. And I know I see this a lot with patients with acne or eczema. Sorry, so we talked a little bit about those skin conditions, and they'll say, no, my digestion's fine. But what I find is that their gut health is still a root cause of that. And so I'm so excited to be able to send people your direction for this summit to really get a good overview and delve in deep into certain specific topics. So tell us about who are the different people you have on your summit and what are they going to be sharing?
Okay, well, thank you for that. And first of all, I'll tell everybody that you are one of our experts, and your people understand you and have a sense of your area of expertise and focus. And you talked about the connection between the gut and skin health. And you're just one of 28 experts, and your team, your people know that connection maybe already. The other experts talk about other aspects of gut health, and it'll be an epiphany for them as it was to them when they first heard you talk about the gut skin health, because the world at large doesn't understand these connections. And I'm sure that many of your listeners, the first time they heard you talk about the gut skin connection, they were like, wow, I didn't know that. And then they started following your recommendations and they started seeing the improvements in their skin and they probably started feeling better. And you know, so everyone is talking about different things, and many of these experts may be familiar to your audience. I really enjoyed our interview. I also enjoyed Dr. William Sears, and I don't know if you've ever had Bill talk on any of your programs, but he is the preeminent pediatrician of our generation. He was kind of our version of Dr. Spock, and I love how he's able to put very complex medical thoughts into words that everyone can understand. Because he's used to talking to kids and moms, and he's just he gives his top five tips for good gut health, and they are just easy to follow, extremely simple, but very, very powerful. J.J. Virgin, Alan Christensen, Joel Kahn, we had Vincent Pedre, Brian Mohl, Razzie Berry, Liz Lipsky, Mark Stengler. Just, you know, we had 28 just excellent speakers providing their insights on different aspects of gut health. And during the summit, every night I'll be there for a half hour or so on Facebook Live to answer any questions, because we did a summit last year and we got so many questions afterwards that we thought, well, we need to make sure that there's an opportunity for people that are watching these speakers to kind of get their questions answered. Yeah, it was great fun, and it is so worthwhile for people to sign up. It's free. They can go to the digestivehealthsummit.com. There's just such great information, and it's only going to help them, and it's great fun too. It's great fun to learn little things that can make a huge difference in your health. And as I said earlier, all health begins in the gut, so why not learn how to improve gut function?
Yeah, fantastic. And we'll have the link up on my website below your interview as well for people so they can check that out. And I think it's so great that you're doing this, doing the Facebook Live or Facebook Q&A. I think that's such a great thing. When are you going to be doing that? So tell people the dates on this. And if people are listening to this after we've, you know, after it's over, you can still get recordings of it, right? But ideally people will go in and they'll watch it live because that's when you can get it, watch it free.
Yeah, if people want to, we're offering a super deal on people that sign up and have easy access to all the interviews. But the event is September 9th through 17th. It's 8 nights nine nights. And every night I'll be at 6 p.m. Pacific on my Facebook page. I'm doing Facebook Live, answering their questions, and it's great fun. I think this will be a great event, and there's no reason for people not to sign up and you know, at least catch the topics that they're most interested in. It doesn't cost anything, and they might learn something that makes all the difference in the world, because you know, sometimes people don't make that connection. And I used you as an example. There's so many people that suffered from chronic skin conditions for years that had no idea that it was due to something that was going on in their gut.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you have a VIP package too that you're offering. Do you want to talk about that?
So we have an all access package that where people can go and sign up and they'll see all of the interviews and get all the free gifts on their schedule, so they're not tied to watching each interview as it happens. And then we offer a VIP package that will consist of four webinars with me. Talking about you know, some of these some of my thoughts on dealing with some of these more chronic gut health issues like small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, leaky gut, and I mentioned that biofilm. I think that's a big issue. There's no real way of testing it, but I think the reason why many of these conditions keep flaring back up is that they haven't scrubbed all that biofilm off. Most of the work on biofilm has been done in the oral cavity and looking at periodontal health and whatnot, but it applies to the GI tract in its entirety, and there's some great models. And so one of my areas of focus right now is looking at these natural ways to disrupt that biofilm, and I'll be talking about those things and others to help people finally get rid of their chronic digestive issues. For the first 100 people, we're offering a free incentive, and it's well worth the price of admission just to get that free incentive.
Okay, great. Perfect. All right, so we will have that link up, and I think this is great for people to, you've provided so much great information today, and then for those that want to go deeper, learn more about their digestion, how they can improve it and improve their overall health, I encourage people to go check out the Digestive Health Summit. Thank you so much, Mike, for your information today. Always a pleasure to talk to you. You're just a wealth of information. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
I hope you enjoyed this interview today with Dr. Michael Murray, and you got some great tips and information, things that you can start implementing in your life today. Gut health is such a key, important root cause to address when it comes to skin or other health issues. And if you love this, then you're going to love his upcoming summit. So to learn more about Dr. Murray and his upcoming Digestive Health Summit, or to get the recordings if you've already missed it when it goes live, just go to thespadoctor.com. go to the podcast page with his interview, and you'll find all the information and links there. You'll also find the transcripts for the podcast. You can download those, read them at your leisure. Also, I invite you to join the Spa Doctor community so you don't miss any of our upcoming shows. You can subscribe to the show, the podcast on iTunes. And also, if you haven't done so already, I highly recommend you take the skin quiz. You can get your own free customized skin evaluation, get some great tips on how to improve your health and your skin. Just go to theskinquiz.com. Again, it's theskinquiz.com. It's free, takes just a few minutes, and you'll get your own customized skin report. Also, join me on social media, on Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. Join the conversation, and I'll see you next time on the Spa Doctor Podcast.